Open your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. This morning we plan to give a lesson here concerning that of Jeremiah and the problems that Jeremiah faced compared to what we face today. If you do not have a Bible with you, there may be one in the rack in front of you, or if you have your iPad or whatever, that you can follow along with the scriptures that I plan to present to you here this morning. The title of my lesson is The Tragedy of False Preaching. The Tragedy of False Preaching. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and beginning there in verse 28, we find the stern warning of God was very clear. In Jeremiah, he says, "The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steals my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord." The nation of Judah was doomed. During the day of Jeremiah, the wickedness of the people could not be blamed on any shortage of preachers. They had plenty. But the problem existed because they had too many of the wrong kind of preachers. Those who were preaching the wrong message. Both the prophet and the priest had failed, and the spiritual strength of that nation was dissolved because the people relied on the prophets who told him lies. But as we compare to today, and we have Jesus, the Son of God, was also a preacher. He chose 12 men to serve as apostles. And their job description is given to us there as we turn to the Gospel of Mark. In Mark, the 16th chapter. And we notice there in verse 15. Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Jesus, the preacher of all mankind, who selected these 12 men to go about and to proclaim to the world. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and there in verse 18, says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul here was addressing those concerning the preaching of the cross, that it was foolishness to those who were perishing. but to those who are being saved, it was the power of God. Paul also gave instruction to the young evangelist Timothy. Turning to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and we notice there in verse 2, in Paul's encouragement there to young Timothy, he said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." This was a big task for young Timothy, to preach this word, to strive to reach those who were lost. God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, that salvation would come to sinful mankind. Preaching is very necessary, but the wrong kind of preaching is tragic for those who hear it and believe it. The prophets of whom God speaks back there in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, are good examples of that truth. For what was true with their false teaching is characteristic of the false teaching in our generation today. Nothing has changed. We still have false teachers. And many are gullible and follow those teachers. Turning back to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, once again, as we look to Jeremiah's writing there in beginning in verse 16, God tells us plainly the manner of false teaching, of what it was, and its effect upon the hearers. In verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 23, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart and not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said, you shall have peace,' and to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, 'No evil shall come upon you.'" And also notice, beginning there in verse 26, "How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal." God plainly shows what manner of false teaching there was and how it affected those who heard it. Point number one I have here this morning is the false assurance resulted in vain hope. There's no substitute for the truth. All the persuasion in the world, all the emotion can never do what truth will. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. In John, the 8th chapter, and there in verse 32, "That nothing else but truth can make us free. For Jesus said," let's back up there to verse 21, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We must strive to believe in God's word. that it should be truth for our souls, that nothing else but truth can make us free. False teachers always say, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't make any difference as long as you are sincere. But it does. The sincere person who drives on the wrong side of the highway will be killed just as dead as if he were a hypocrite. The sincere child who plays with a live electric cord will die just as surely as if he acted with knowledge. We know of those things that can happen to us if we're not following the correct rules, the correct path. In matters of physical or spiritual life, only truth can save. The prophets of Jeremiah's day said to the people, "You shall have peace, and no evil shall come upon you." But God never said it. The hope that was instilled was vain hope. God makes many promises to us. And as we turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in Hebrews chapter 10 and there verse 23, we know that he is faithful in those promises. For we find written here, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." But yet, even though God is faithful in those promises, we need to make sure that we are trusting in what God has promised us and not in what man has told us that God has promised. Turning a couple pages back to Hebrews chapter 6, and there beginning in verse 18, God gave us his word to guide us, to give us hope. In verse 17 says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise and immutability of his counsel, confirming it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." God gave us his word to guide us, to give us hope. Some today promise salvation based on faith only, but God doesn't promise that. In Scripture, we find in James, the second chapter, in James chapter 2, and there in verse 24, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Looking up there in verse 17, it says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Some promise that once they are saved, they can never fall from God's grace. But God never promised that. look with me, if you will, to Galatians, the 5th chapter. In Galatians chapter 5, and there in verse 4, it says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempted to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." We need that hope that will truly anchor our soul, and the hope that is rooted in the Word of God and not in what man may say to us. Point number two I have here this morning is they preach their own ideas and their opinions. The false prophets spoke of a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That is the reason God gave them a warning. They felt that what they was told was right, and that it was a personal faith from within one's own heart and mind. Ours must be an existing faith from outside ourselves, delivered from God. As we turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, and there in verse 17, a very familiar verse to all of us. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." To increase our faith, we need to hear God's word proclaimed. Too many people are guided by their own feelings without realizing what they feel is a result of what they've been taught. If the teaching is wrong, the feelings will also be in error. The only way to be sure that your feeling about spiritual matters is reliable is if it is based upon what God said in His inspired word. We need to increase in knowledge by reading God's word and abiding within it. As we turn to Jude in verse 3, we notice here in this scripture that true faith is delivered from heaven by the word of God. In Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We need the defense of our faith. True faith is delivered from heaven by the word of God. The Apostle Paul also writes there concerning God's word, turning back to Romans, the 1st chapter. In Romans chapter 1, and there in verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. James also as well speaks of God's word that is able to save your soul. In James chapter 1, and there in verse 21, we find here written in Scripture, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. God's word is able to save your soul. But man's teaching will never make our worship. Man's teaching will never make our worship vain. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, and there in verse 8 of this chapter, we notice here, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. No one can have the right faith as a result of wrong teaching. For faith results from the teaching of God's word. If the teaching is wrong, the faith is wrong also. Turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. And there, beginning in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. If the teaching is wrong, the faith is wrong also. Point number three I have for you here this morning is that they preach themselves and not the Lord. Jeremiah wrote that these false prophets were not listening to God, that they were telling the people, the Lord has said. And as we look back to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and there in verse 17, said, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. The false prophets were not listening to God. They were telling the people these lies. Said, the Lord has said, but that was a lie. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and there, beginning in verse 4, the Apostle Paul was writing here concerning that of Satan blinding the minds of the unbelieving. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, said, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. It's not my idea, nor any other man's, that is important. It is God's plan. It is God's purpose. It is God's word for your life and mine. I'm not inspired, not like the God of heaven. The things that I have to say don't always trust me. I'm not that spiritual being that you should be, have your hope in. But we should have our hope and trust in the God of heaven. Paul wrote concerning the inspired apostles in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And there, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there in verse 12, said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The message they preached was a message which God gave them and which is written for us to follow. Peter also wrote of the guidance of the Holy Spirit in delivering the scriptures. As we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and there in verse 21, says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is inspired of God. It is not Paul's word. It is not Peter's word. It is not John's word. It is God's word that should inspire all of us. Rather than preaching myself or my ideas, I must preach as Paul did. As we turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and there we notice in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul repeatedly warns about following men. In Galatians chapter 1, and there in verse 10, in Paul's writing there to the Galatian brethren, he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. The tragedy of false prophets is that their following is based upon their own charming and convincing personality. There are some great men that we could probably think of that who claim to be gospel preachers, but yet their teaching is wrong. They strive to gain your confidence, and they strive to reach out to those who may be in need of God and of Jesus Christ. But yet they're only there for your money. They want you to pledge for them that they might continue their types of acts. And they strive to make merchandise of you. Peter speaks of that concerning the merchandise that they can gain your confidence in 2 Peter chapter 2. And there, beginning in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceitful words. And for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. They're always striving to gain your confidence in them. False prophets are in the world today. And we need to recognize that difference. Point number 4, the false prophets have turned people from God. These false prophets still exist today by turning people away from God. Whether a dream of a gigantic Jesus telling a man to build a hospital. And of course, they put the name of that man upon that hospital. Or the dream of telling him to raise millions of dollars. The end result is the same, that he makes merchandise of you. He makes merchandise of the people. And they become disillusioned and turn from God. The God of our salvation. The prophets in Jeremiah were telling their dreams as though they were directed from God. And God said, the prophets prophesy lies. People are still telling their dreams or experiences today as though that they were direct from God. And it is still wrong. Paul also wrote to us in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and there beginning in verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Apostle Paul tells Timothy here that some will fall away. Some will fall away from the faith that they once had known. also in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul even gave warning to the elders of the church back in Ephesus in Acts, the 20th chapter, and there in verse 30, when Paul there said to the elders in Acts chapter 20 and there in verse 30, also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Whether or not it was the intention of the false prophets to lead the people away from God, that was the end result. And even well-intentioned people today who teach false doctrine are having the same result. In Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and there in verse 16, so we look back there to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 6, and there in verse 16, the clear call of Jeremiah went forth throughout all Judea. For it was said, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. The call went unheeded because the people followed false prophets. They should have listened to God, but they refused. And as we find in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, there in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. In conclusion here this morning, we should pay heed to the word that is spoken as revealed in the word of God. As Jeremiah was pleading, so do we. Come back to God's plan. Come back to God's Son. Come back to God's grace. Come back to God's salvation. Come back to God's Word. Come back to the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. That is God's promise to you. And this lesson, we hope, has been an encouragement to you that you will not follow false prophets, false teachings, but hope that this has enlightened you to think seriously of your soul's condition this very hour. That if we are outside the body of Christ, it is through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism that we might become a child of God. This lesson may have been more towards those who have wandered away from God's truth, have followed some of those patterns that are ungodly. If it is your desire to come forward and ask for the prayers of the congregation to once again establish your will and your desire to serve the living God, we stand here and wait for you, and we'll be willing to help you to restore your faithfulness to the God who created you, to Jesus Christ, the Son, who died for you, and to these brethren among us that love you. Come back to the old paths and walk therein. We invite you to come, but together we stand and sing.
Wow.